Welcome to the Daily Nugget, one property topic, 20 minutes or less, every day, 7 days a week, brought to you on YouTube, LinkedIn, as well as on Facebook or audio podcast. And I'm excited to get this new series underway. Myself, Lawrence Lotz, today joined by Matt Harris, property tax specialist and a fellow property investor. And Matt, today's one question, which has a couple of pieces, is what is the new interest deductibility rules that the government in New Zealand just announced over the last week to 2 weeks?
Yep. So everyone in the property community, myself included, have been waiting for some clarity on these rules that were first announced back in March. Mm-hmm. Finally, in early October, the government has come out and has provided a framework for us to work around as property investors, as tax specialists, and as advisors. In short, there's a few main things to cover off. So they have confirmed that new builds will continue to have a five-year bright line mm-hmm. period, whereas in situ properties purchased after 27 March 2021 will have a 10-year period. So that's quite a big difference.
Yep.
The government has defined what a new build will be. In short, it is anything issued with a code compliance certificate issued after 27 March 2020. So that was a little bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. And I know some people had lobbied the government, some investor groups had lobbied the government to move it backwards more than mm-hmm. a year, up to 5 years. But where we've got to is that we've actually got a year longer. So it's not 27 March 2021. It's 27 March 2020. So that's important if you've purchased a new build within the last 12 to 15 months. Otherwise, a new build can still be created other than through purchase. So some of the ways that the document has provided that will be a new build is, for example, a relocatable house mm-hmm. being put onto the section and a co-compliance certificate being issued. Another way would be to create a minor dwelling out of something like a garage or build it and get a co-compliance certificate, and right down to some really creative things like turning a commercial building into a residential dwelling with a co-compliance certificate. So I think it's pretty smart that the government has used co-compliance certificate as the benchmark, because you can imagine how many property investors would be running around trying to create residential dwellings in different ways without the councils sort of as the goalkeepers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the overriding principle that the government's going for is if you increase housing supply and the government, the council agrees that you have via that co-compliance certificate, then a deduction will be available for interest.
And just one thing to confirm on that, when you're talking about that code of compliance, talking about adding, not just talking about the new builds, I'm talking about putting something in my backyard, minor dwelling. Are you talking about the cost to that piece of work or the cost to the entire section? So if I've got a house in the front and I throw a minor dwelling at the back and get a new code of compliance, is it the total debt on the property or is it debt that's allocated to that code of compliance? Work.
Yeah, so it will be the debt that's allocated to the new build.
Yeah, that's underpinned by the code of compliance.
Correct. And perhaps I should have been a little bit clearer when I started. The 5 year wasn't the actual thing that most people were worried about. It's interest deductibility. So the overriding principle, the new rules, is that in situ property, so that not new builds, will no longer have interest deductions. So if you purchase it after 27 March 2021, then you get no deduction. If you already own the property, then it's getting phased out over a four-year period and up to the point where there'll be no deduction. If you meet the requirements for a new build, then you'll still be able to deduct interest, and obviously that will make a huge difference to investors.
Great. There's one other big one, or we perceive it as the big one in there at the moment, is people talking about social housing or being able to give your house to the government to be able to get to claim the interest. So tell me about this one, Matt.
Yes, so that was a little bit of a surprise. The government has come out and they've said that if you are renting or leasing your residential properties to a social housing provider, so Kāinga Ora, obviously the main government housing provider, but there are quite a few other social organisations that provide housing, then you will be able to deduct interest indefinitely. And that is obviously a surprise because it wasn't mentioned anywhere else. But I think that really shows that the government has made a bit of a problem for themselves in this area by making the tenancy laws that suspiciously were changed as a precursor to these new interest deductibility rules are so uncommercial that most landlords can't afford to give sort of low socioeconomic or problem tenants a tenancy because there's no way to get them out easily. So the old 90-day no cause termination is gone. And so if you're stuck with a problem tenant, you have to go quite a long time with no rent and get to the tenancy tribunal before you can get rid of them. So I see this social housing inclusion. I go, okay, well, I think that that's an obvious outcome of the government's policies to this point. Having said that, it obviously is a windfall for some types of investors. Most of the investors I work with that provide social housing actually custom build them. Mm-hmm. In case there would be new builds anyway, but I do suspect there'll be many investors who will be looking around for a social housing provider to provide accommodation to.
Yep. So that's pretty much some of the what people say main. And out there at the moment, there's still a couple of unsures or unknowns in that because when they originally announced in the beginning part of the year, there was so much uncertainty. And then they brought out the paper that just came out and it clarified certain pieces, but there's still a few openings and cracks in the windows and doors of uncertainty of what it all means. Is there a couple of other pieces, Matt, that still is rumbling around that people might know of or heard of that you can just mention to the people at the moment going, yep, we know it's there, but there's no certainty at the moment?
Yeah, so what's come out is a supplementary orders paper, which is effectively a precursor to the legislation. It has to go through select committee. Given the government has a majority, I don't see that being an issue, but what happens in the nitty-gritty before it comes out into law, we have to wait and see. But at the moment, the government have said that this interest deductibility will last for 20 years and will pass from owner to owner. With the caveat that if you provide accommodation to the social housing providers, you can have it forever. So I guess one of the questions that pops into your head is, you know, what's the resale value of a new build at year 18 to 20 versus an incentive at the same time? But we will see. Some of the other things that are in there are less certain at this point is that the government is considering whether any denied interest deductions for an in situ property will be allowed if that property is subsequently taxed upon sale. So if you trigger Brightline, for example, buy and sell within the 5 or 10 years period, depending on where you are within that Brightline rule, then they are considering allowing the deductions that you did not have to be offset, which, you know, seems more than fair considering that you probably should have had them to begin with. And the other place where it's not so clear is Airbnbs. There's been a lot of talk and commentary out in the property community that Airbnbs are going to be exempt from the rules or that interest is still going to be allowed. The government has pretty much said that if you are providing accommodation in a residential dwelling, even if it is an Airbnb or a boarding house that's a residential dwelling, then you won't be able to claim interest. Now, what's not clear is whether they're going to rely on the commercial dwelling definition, which is currently within in the GST Act, which would apply to things like motels, hotels, boarding houses, short-term accommodation, similar, where Airbnb naturally fits. Those commercial dwellings are considered a commercial dwelling if you're registered for GST. So if you earn over $60,000 in short-term accommodation rents, then you would have to GST registered. So I do suspect that over time it might become a bit clearer that those types of dwellings, i.e. commercial dwelling, will remain deductible, but we won't know. One other little thing that was kind of interesting and probably expected, given the working paper comments, was that if you provide accommodation in your own dwelling, then you can still claim interest. So that might be a border situation, for example.
That's definitely an interesting one to see how that plays out, Matt. I know that's great on that. Is there anything else you want to leave everyone with today around that, or do you think you've covered off the main?
Yeah, just one more thing. I mean, there's been a lot in these rules, and you know, I probably actually haven't gone in totally correct order that I should have in hindsight, but that might make this more interesting for people watching. The only other thing that was expected but has not been as expected is rollover relief. So rollover relief is a really sensible thing proposed by the government initially, because what happens with really long bright line periods or any bright line period is that you're actually locked in to structures as an investor. And there can be really commercial reasons to change structure, taxation, protection, that kind of thing. Previously, if you were within the 2 year or 5 year bright line, you weren't able to change structure during that period, except for very, very limited circumstances, such as matrimonial rollover relief, if you split up with your partner, things like that. And so what that gives this lock-in effect where you can't make commercial decisions as an investor. So rollover relief was proposed. I actually thought it would be quite broad. It's come in the supplementary order paper. It's very narrow. So currently you can go, it's proposed that you can go from an individual to a look-through company, provided that the shareholders in the look-through company is the same as the individual. So I don't see that being of wide application because there's no outcome there, I don't think, other than maybe the professionalism that something like a look-through company provides. The other one, which is a little more flexible, is actually individuals to a trust structure, as long as those individuals involved in one of the settlors and or primary beneficiaries of the trust. So I think that one will have more application, especially as in situ investors start to move towards a tax minimization structure, because the cash flow profile of their properties is going to change substantially over the next few years. And they're going to get bracket creep in their personal names, where their net profit for tax purposes is going to be very high, but the cash flow is going to be very low because they still incurred the interest, they just weren't able to claim it.
So do you get that? And thanks for that, Matt. And I think that covers off everything today for the talking about the new interest deductibility rules that the government has released from their paper just recently. And if there's anything, as always, out there, just reach out to myself or to Matt or on any one of our socials. You find those details in the links, depending where you're watching or listening today. But as always, we'll be back tomorrow again with another one every single day, 7 days a week, the Daily Nugget, Property Insights, one topic, 20 minutes or less, and hope to see you tomorrow.